Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
Our scripture reading today is from John 7, 37 through 39. On the last day of the festival, the great day, while Jesus was standing there, he cried out, "Let everyone who thirsts come to me. Let the one who believes in me drink. As the scriptures have said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." Now he said this about the Spirit, which believes in him, where to receive. For as yet there was no Spirit, because Jesus was not glorified. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thank you, Steve. Thanks be to God. Amen. Oh, very nice. You pray with me? Eternal and gracious God, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation and the inspiration in all of our hearts and thoughts this morning be acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, are our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. This is the final Sunday of what we've been working on, actually, for the last 8 weeks. We've been working through the work of Bishop Robert Snazy, the bishop in the Missouri area, talking about the five practices of fruitful living. We've talked about radical hospitality and passionate worship and intentional faith development and risk-taking mission and service. And then for the last 4 weeks, we've been talking about generosity, extravagant generosity. We've been talking about it in the way of what pours out of the heart of the believer. And so our final scripture for the day is this text from the 7th chapter of the Gospel of John. Jesus says this, "Out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." And what an incredible expression of extravagant generosity. Rivers of living water shall flow. It's a powerful image if you think about it. Now let me give you a little context of where Jesus is saying this and what this is about, a little Bible study quickly. In the 7th chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus finds himself in Jerusalem. Something is going on. It's one of the three primary Jewish festivals in Jesus' day that took place in Jerusalem. And Jewish pilgrims from all over came into Jerusalem to celebrate the Harvest Festival. This has been known by several names. The Festival of Tabernacles, the Festival of Booths, the Festival of the Ingathering. Now, what's curious about this particular festival is that the pilgrims come into the city and they set up tents. And they live in these tents, like a tent city, for a week. And what they are doing is remembering their ancestors' journey through the wilderness when they lived in tents. And they were, they lived off the providential generosity of God. That is all they had. God provided water, Moses and the rock. If you remember that story, we're thirsty, we need something to drink. Moses prays to God, and Moses hits the rock, and the rock breaks in two, and rivers of living water flow out to give life to the pilgrims on the wilderness journey. God also provided manna every morning for bread and for food. And so this is a harvest festival. Like every harvest festival, it is a festival of thanksgiving for the abundance of what God has provided. This festival of tabernacles, the festival of ingatherings, is probably one of the earliest known understandings of what we know as Thanksgiving dinners. And the fruit and the thanksgiving for the harvest and the abundance of what God has provided. In the midst of the festival, on the pinnacle of the temple, as the crowds are gathered, Jesus stands up. Out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water. This idea of living water has been part of what Jesus has been ministering about and talking about, what it means to have an abundant life, what it means to well up to eternal life. In chapter 4 of the Gospel of John, he's talking to the Samaritan woman at the well, if you remember that story. He asks for something to drink, and she says she wants to know why he wants to. He's asking her, a Samaritan woman, for a drink. Jesus says to the woman, "Everyone who drinks from this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink from the water that I will give to you will never be thirsty. The water that I give will become like a spring of water that gushes up to eternal life." Similar image. Rivers that flow, waters that gush to eternal life. Gush, flow, abundance. Now the question for the day is, why don't we see more of that in the church? Why don't we see more of the overflow of this heart that flows with living water? Shouldn't we be experiencing more of that? When sometimes it seems like the spigot has been kind of shut off and there's just a trickle. Or has it been, we've just gotten ourselves so wrapped up in the world and the stuff of the world has so clogged the pipes that we all live with impediments and obstacles to that generosity? That's the question for the day. How do we let the rivers flow? For the next few minutes, I want to talk about the work of Dallas Willard. Dallas Willard is a very interesting person. He is a Baptist minister, but more than that, he actually is a professor of philosophy at the University of Southern California. Think about that a minute. Professor of philosophy at the University of Southern California. But he's also a very profound Christian. And probably, in my estimation, one of the most prolific and clear writers related to Christian discipleship today. A very important and powerful voice in what it means to be a Christian disciple. One of his books is Renovation of the Heart. And in this book, he talks about will, heart, and spirit. Actually, he equates this. Our will, our heart, in the biblical sense of heart, and spirit. That all this is one thing, and it's who we are. Our will is basically the essence of who we are as individuals. Your will, your heart, your spirit. It's the essential you. The will is that part of us that makes decisions. And what is important about it is that God has given us that will in freedom. And that gives us our human dignity, uniqueness, power, and also can get us in trouble. It's that will the gift that God has given us, the heart and the essential you and me, that is creative, that brings things out of nothing into existence, but it can also be destructive. And our human agenda and our human life is somehow or another dealing with our will, your will, the heart of hearts, your essence and spirit. The French philosopher and Christian mathematician, inventor, Blaise Pascal, had this very famous quote. You've probably heard it before. The heart has its reasons of which reasons knows not of. The heart, or let's say the will today, has its reasons of which reason knows not of. There is something about your will and my will that is so powerful that sometimes it is beyond even logic. You know it from your own personal experience. There are things that happen in your life and you wonder, why in the world did I do that? How in the world did that happen? And it came from the will. Paul also, the Apostle Paul, had this concern with himself. I know that sometimes the will is so powerful that I do what I do not want to do. For the heart has its reasons that reason knows not of. And that is our human issue, day in and day out. This continual struggle between the will of God and our will. We can boil it all down to the agenda of our life is balancing the will of God with our will. Now, the will of God is pretty clear scripturally, and it's all through the Gospel of John. Let me quickly run through particular passages related to Jesus talking about the will of God. In the very first chapter of the Gospel of John, in the prologue, says this, "But all who have received him, received the Son, the Word of God, and believes in his name, Jesus the Christ, he gave power to become children of God, to who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of human beings, the will of man, but of the will of God." Later on, Jesus says, "I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek to do not my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Later on, "This is indeed the will of my Father, that all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day." In this chapter 7, the chapter of the primary passage of the morning, "Anyone who resolves to do the will of God will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking on my own." The will of God versus our own will. Why does it remain a problem, a human struggle, particularly for us, for those of us who claim the name of Jesus the Christ, living in the world in which we live in, and the constant struggle between the will of God and our own? It has to do with the nature of us, duplicity and deception. There is within our will, there is within the culture, this incredible, powerful sense of the lie, duplicity and deception. Now, this came to my mind this week as in a discovery. This is something, you know, I think I inherently known, but it's interesting when somebody tells you this after a lot of research. And so I discovered this individual this week, Pamela Meyer. She has been studying liars for several years. and she has trained herself to know how to spot a liar. And what she has discovered and what she will tell you, I'm not going to give you training in lie spotting, but what she says in the preface of this book is astonishing, that I think probably we know, but we have never really taken it to heart. She claims, based on research, that each one of us will be lied to about 200 times a day. Now, most of those will be little, what we call little white lies, little protective lies, little lies of social etiquette. But out of those, there will be a few that could be serious. I don't know how many lies you catch on the internet. I don't know how many lies you catch watching television. I don't know how many lies you're engaged in at your workplace or whatever. Or you self-reflect and catch yourself realizing that you hedge on this, you exaggerate on this, you add something here, take away something there. That there is something a part of us that lies. It's a part of the culture. And it starts when we're very small. I mean, think of your own children. Sorry. It's a part of our environmental evolutionary nature. And it would be nice if we could easily spot and easily check ourselves, but it's not always easy. One of my favorite lines, particularly related to the difference between heaven and hell, comes from the definition of C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis wrote in his book called The Great Divorce, the difference between people in hell and people in heaven. For the people in heaven, they say to God, "Thy will be done." To the people in hell, God says to them, "Thy will be done." Think about that a minute. And do we wonder, all of us, and most of the time we spend our days one foot in hell and one foot in heaven. This constant battle between the will of God and our own. Now, Dallas Willard makes this suggestion for all of us of how to work through this and deal with it. And he offers, I'm going to give you three suggestions for all of us to take to heart. One is the importance of solitude, and what he means by that is time with God and yourself. All of us, from time to time, need time away for what one would call an examination of conscience, just to get in tune, just to be with God, just to seek in the privacy of the personal intimacy of you and God, to seek moments of repentance, clarity, and forgiveness. And then out of that, with intention, to begin to order your life, realizing how easy it is to deceive yourself, and how easy it is to add a little here, take away a little here, embellish here, protect ourselves here, lift ourselves up here. He says also the importance of worship, because true worship, as we have heard already, is not, we don't come to worship to get something. We come to worship essentially to give ourselves to God. And in the giving, perhaps we will receive, but it's giving of ourselves first, the surrender, the release, for the Spirit of God to come upon us and to refresh us. And the third suggestion he would say is service. That there are times we simply just must do. Give of ourselves selflessly and humbly to others. And in that we do the will of God. William Law was an older contemporary of the founder of Methodism, John Wesley. John Wesley read extensively the works of William Law. William Law actually was a very devoted and pious Christian, but some of his ideas were rejected by the Church of England, and so he was kind of ostracized. But his writings were very poignant, and they influenced John Wesley so much that some Christian historians would say to this day that modern Methodism has its fundamental intellectual and theological DNA apart possibly from William Law. Listen to what he says. Would you know who is the greatest saint in the world? It is not the one who prays the most. It's not the one who fasts the most. It's not the one who gives the most money. It's not the one who is most eminent in temperance or chastity or justice. But it is he who is always thankful to God, who wills everything that God wills, who receives everything as an instance of God's goodness, and as a heart always to praise God for it. Now that's when the waters gush. When the waters of generosity of life gush and overflow and abundant living takes place. It's when we live out the will of God. Yep. This whole 8 weeks have been about the condition of the heart, of the Christian heart, of what it means to be hospitable and to worship in spirit and truth and to nurture our own understanding of our relationship with God through developing our faith and through mission and service that is selfless, and then what it means for a heart to outpour itself in generosity to eternal life. And my prayer for all of us, me, you, all of us, is we take this truly to heart. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us for our celebration services, an uplifting mix of contemporary and traditional worship styles as we open our hearts to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Sunday mornings at 8:15, 9:30, or 10:45. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.